Sawan de alune rimajimalaye. Gracious Sawan has caused the drizzle to shower. At least come out in this intoxicating weather and see. In the sky there are colorful swings. At least set the swing of love to its peak and see. Understand the melody of the song sung by the cuckoo. At least sing one song of love and see. You will get the happiness of heaven here itself. At least come under the shade of the hair and see. I'll make you drink through the cups of eyes. At least exchange your glance with me and see. I'll write my whole life in your name. At least for once get in love with me and see. I'll keep you hidden in my eyelashes. At least come into the courtyard of my heart and see. Today the nectar is showering from the skies. At least create the yearning for once and see. Coming into the intoxication of the month of Sawan, at least shoot the arrows of your glance and see. Ajaib has become yours for no cost. At least for once you try me and see. Gracious Sawan has caused the drizzle to shower. At least come out in this intoxicating weather and see. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 254.
Sawan de alune rima jimalai tu mosam rangile che akita dek sawan de alune rima jimalai tu mosam rangile che akita dek ambarante pingane sat sat rangiyan ambarante pingane sat sat rangiyan tu pyarande pinga chadaki tadik tu pyarande pinga chadaki tadik tu mosam rangile chu akita dek Sawan de alune rima jimalai tu mosam rangile che akita dek koyalande gitandi surnu samajake Koyalande gitandi suranu samajake Tu ek gita pyaranda ka keta dek Tu ek gita pyaranda ka keta dek Tu mosam rangile che aketa deka Sawan de alune rima jimalai Tu mosam rangile che aketa deka Kushiswara Gandhi Mila Jauete Kushiswara Gandhi Mila Jauete jula fande chan heta aketa dek tu jula fande chan heta aketa dek tu mosam rangile che aketa dek sa wande alune rima jima lai tu mosam rangile che aketa dek me bhar bhar ne na de jama pila du me bhar bhar ne na de jama pila du tu ek vare na jara mila keta dek tu ek vare na jara mila keta dek tu mosam rangile che aketa dek sa wande alune rima jima lai tu mosam rangile che aketa dek me jivan visar tere namalikadu me jivan visar tere namalikadu tu ek vare mere nala la keta dek tu ek vare mere nala la keta dek tu mosam rangile che aketa dek sa wande alune rima jima lai tu mosam rangile che aketa dek me palakan chirakala chupa ketenu me palakan chirakala chupa ketenu tu dilavale vede che aketa dek tu dilavale vede che aketa dek tu mosam rangile che aketa dek sa wande alune rima jima lai tu mosam rangile che aketa dek amrit jala aja ambarancho barase amrit jala aja ambarancho barase tu kvare riche laga keta dek tu ek vare riche la ke kata dek tu mosam rangile che Akita Deka Sawandeya Lune Rema Jimalai Tumosam Rangileche Akita Deka Sawan Mahine Di Mas teach ake Sawan Mahine di Mas teach ake Tu najara de tira Chela keta dek Tu najara de tira Chala keita deka tu mosam rangileche aketa deka sawande alune rima jimalai tu mosam rangileche Aketa deka Dama bina ajaiba Ho gaya tera Dama bina ajaiba Ho gaya tera Tu ekavare menu Ajma keta deka Tu ekvare menu Ajma keta deka Tu mosam rangileche Aketa deka Sawandeya lune Rima jimalai Tu mosam rangileche Aketa deka
Today I'm going to be reading from chapter 27 of The Stranger of Galilee on the will of the Father, second chapter with that title. I say in the beginning, although we have already considered this very important passage in Matthew 7, 21 to 27, it should be reconsidered from additional points of view because these verses have great relevance for the disciples of any master. And this is, of course, from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Jesus says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was its fall. Matthew 7:21-27. In this summing up, as we have seen, The Master is clearly distinguishing between an approach to the universe through power and an approach through love. The two are contrasted, as they have been throughout the sermon. It is only those who do the will of the Father who will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is not enough simply to say, Lord, Lord, and believe that Jesus is Lord, though this is contrary to the opinion of the exoteric institutional Christian church and of most members of the Christian religion. Jesus himself established a different and important criterion: humble and loving obedience to the Father. The false belief is expressed in healings, prophesying, casting out demons, and many other, quote, deeds of power in your name, unquote. Here arises the whole question of supernatural powers, in India called riddhis and siddhis, which the masters have said we are to renounce. Through our meditating and surrendering to God and adhering to the disciplines of the path, we should eventually be able to do such deeds of power. But the masters have stressed that even though we develop that capability, we are not to do them. Through the ages, it has been a very consistent instruction, not only by precept, but also by example. When Master Kripal Singh was a boy, he discovered he was able to foretell the future and do other things which we would consider supernatural. But he prayed that this gift be taken away from him. He did not want to be able to do such things. We can't renounce a thing until we have it. But once the power is ours, relinquishing it is necessary if we want to gain entrance to the kingdom of heaven. However, we shouldn't let words confuse us. The Master has all power, and he shares it with us as his children and his loved ones. But that great power is never used to manipulate or control events on the physical plane. And if we want to emulate him, we will not try to manipulate or control events either. It is a fundamental temptation because it is bound up with the way in which we relate to the world around us. If we, as most of us do most of the time, connect with the universe out of fear or a sense of our own shortcomings and unworthiness, then the temptation to compensate for that by being controlling and egoistic is very strong. A person who really has power is someone who is willing to share it. The person who relates to the universe without fear is the person who can love. Such statements sound almost like clichés, but this is what the Master must require of us in order to give us all that he has to share. And in order to be able to take his gifts, we have to see the world around us from his angle of vision. The Sermon on the Mount emphasizes how to relate to the world as he does. Not judging others is the negative way of saying that we must love our enemies. The two are the same. Both require a sense of the goodness of the human soul, which can override the manifestations of the human ego, our own and other people's, which are blocking our way. If we have a profound sense of the godhood of each human being, including those who do terrible things to us or to people we love, that sense both of their godhood and their temporary bondage to weakness will provide us with a vision that enables us to relate to them as the Master suggests. Only that vision will allow us to accept what the Master has to give. When we consider the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, we realize that people usually do to others what has been done to them. That is why there is such a necessity for forgiveness on our part. The person who does hurtful or even dreadful things to us is usually not able to help himself. He is expressing outwardly what has been done to him, usually as a child. He is in the trap of the negative power. Cosmically, the pain he has suffered will be worked out through the law of karma. But in the here and now, he simply acts out whatever he is carrying with him, what he can't get beyond. The Master wants to free all of us from that trap and take us higher. But first, we must grasp his viewpoint and understand what we have to do to accept the gift he is giving us. The way we treat children is especially important. Both Master Kripal and Sanchi have made very strong statements and discourses on this subject. Generally, children are the weakest and most powerless people we know, and so they are the most vulnerable. In Matthew 18:6, Jesus says that it would be better for anyone who offends a little one who trusts in the Master to have a millstone tied around his neck and be drowned in the river. He is saying that if we fall into the trap of abusing children in any way, manipulating them or using them for our own purposes, we are subjecting ourselves to such terrible karma that we'd be better off being forcibly drowned. Therefore, it is important to understand what we should do with children. Master treats us as though we were his children, and we relate to him the way our children, or any children in our purview, relate to us. So this is a paradigm, a way of dealing with all people. The underlying precept of the Sermon on the Mount and of the New Testament as a whole, despite the contrary opinion expressed by theologians like John Calvin, is that the human being is profoundly good at the core. See Romans 7:22, which, if read with respect for its implications, is astonishingly clear. We don't have to control others for their own good, whether they are young or grown up. We have to love them because that will reach their essence, which is love. The Master's specific statements on children, which should be read in the light of Matthew 18:6, are focused and clarified in Kripal's Toward the New Education, issued at the opening of his Mana Vidya Mandir, the Temple of Human Knowledge School in Dehradun, in June 1972. The tender heart of a child calls for delicate handling. In fact, education begins even before birth, and therefore better care must be bestowed on every pregnant mother. It is the constant association with gentle forces which breeds virtuous persons. The child is the center of creative life. It needs to be opened as a flower is opened, gently, by sympathy, not by force. Do not let the child be imprisoned in the examination machine. Never let him be snubbed or scolded. This is a statement about what a human being really is. But in most Western religious traditions, particularly Protestant Christianity, the idea prevails that the child is naturally sinful and has to be controlled and shaped by parents who are necessarily but inconsistently seen as all-wise and completely moral. This mistaken view comes about through a misunderstanding of the teachings of Jesus and St. Paul, and we are all more or less influenced by it. We are affected by it in ways we are not aware of, even if we recognize the philosophy of the Masters. The role of the parents and teachers is to help children open up gently, the way a flower opens up, because what is there is sublime. If it is allowed to open correctly, it will be absolutely right, close to being perfect. There is no need to control children, no need to force, no need to impose our standards on them. If we are really living up to our own standards, they will imitate us without being coerced. If we are not, they will know it and will probably imitate some aspect of our behavior we would prefer them to ignore. Along these lines, there are some classic passages from Master Kripal's Outer Aspects of Life, his circular letter number 1, that presuppose the view of human nature we have been discussing. He issued it in May 1956 after his first world tour, and says in the introductory part, "It has come to my notice that there exist misapprehensions," which he is correcting. And this is from that circular of Master Kripal. Spirituality, a creed of loving faith. The subject of the spirit is the most ancient and the most authentic of all subjects. Its history is coeval with that of man. It is based on 2 cardinal principles of love and service, or in other words, selfless service. "By love, serve one another," has been the slogan of all sages through the ages. God is love, and he loves those who love his creatures. "He prayeth best who loveth best, all things both great and small. For the dear God who loveth us, he made and loveth all." Again it is said, "He prayeth well who loveth well, both man and bird and beast." And those quotes, of course, are from The Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. We may take any scripture we like. We find an exhortation in most emphatic terms on love. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that God manifests himself to one who knows how to love." Importance of love. Loving and selfless service to humanity is the cornerstone of all religious philosophies, and no man can make any progress on the spiritual path without cultivating love within him. The seed of spirituality that the Master so lovingly sows in the arid soil of our hearts has to be nurtured with the waters of love. If quick results are desired, we must so mold our life and conduct that all our acts bespeak his love. We must transform the desert of our heart into a veritable garden of love, full of lovely blossoms and luscious fruits. From our heart should spring an eternal fountain of love, so that whosoever comes in contact with it is drenched with love to the very core of his heart. Spirituality, a divine cause. The cause of the Master is the cause of God. It is no religion in the commonly accepted sense of the word, and yet it is the highest religion based on love alone. We cannot keep the illimitable God in watertight, limited compartments. God himself has declared, "I neither live on the high heavens nor on the earth below, yet the wonder of wonders is that I live in the heart of a mo'min, or God-man." Again, spiritual teaching and training is a living and practical subject, quite different from secular and sectarian dogmas and so many creeds that we have today. Life, light, and love coming from a living master well out spontaneously from the heart and not from any books on theology. No doubt everything has its own value, but in a world of relativity, the values are all relative. A positive contact with the live principles of the living God is something unique. It stands on a footing which is entirely different. Spirituality and the common man. In this vast creation, Everyone is gifted with an individual perception. The heredity, the environment, and the teachings inculcated all combine to make one what he is. We cannot blame anyone for thinking differently in his own way. Everyone has his own temperament and his own way of thinking. They must differ, and they do differ vehemently. There is no help for it. It is, on the other hand, the sign of sentient life. We must not, therefore, on that account, cross swords with them. Even if in their ignorance they at times may talk ill of the spiritual teachings and use harsh words, they cannot help it. But that should not disturb the true seekers after truth. We must be polite and gentle and even humble in our conduct. Bandying of words does not help. We may try to remove misunderstandings, if any, sweetly and gently, but not in an antagonistic spirit. It is advised that individual persons, including representatives, group leaders, and other old and new initiates, should not enter into any sort of discussions or disputes with any religious bodies, circles, faiths, or sects, etc. If any such bodies do enter into such things, they may be directed to refer to the master for an appropriate reply. It would be better to turn aside rather than to break your own head in an attempt and injure the great cause for which we stand. God knows his purpose well and has diverse ways to fulfill the same without you and me. So it will not pay to quarrel with our neighbors. It is said that those who try to live by the sword perish by the sword. The entire Christian philosophy is summed up in two memorable precepts of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:37-40. And love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:44-48. And so said all other masters who came in the past. If we live up to these teachings, there could be no trouble at all. The royal monk Ashoka, in one of his rock edicts, tells us, he who reveres his own sect but disparages the sects of others does great injury to his own, for he lacks the essentials of a religion. And that is from The Way of the Saints, pages 255-258. And just a short while later, in his circular number 3, Ends and Means, Master Kripal revisited this subject from a slightly different angle. It is very necessary to distinguish clearly the ends from the means. To lay too much stress on the means is likely to make us gradually forget our objective and to become fossilized. Once we know, for example, that abstinence from all kinds of meat diet and spirituous liquors helps us on the spiritual path, it is enough that we avoid them. But to take it as an end in itself is to miss the goal. Offending others because they eat meat is worse than meat eating itself. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Live and let others live. Welcome those are who choose to come on the way, but we have no right to hate or offend others because they eat meat. Vegetarian diet is essentially a helping factor for those who would prefer to follow the teachings of the Master. Hafiz, a great saint, says, drink wine, burn the holy scriptures, and put Kaaba, the house of God, on fire. You may do all this, but never offend or molest anybody. If you are really anxious to meet God, you should not molest or offend the heart of anybody, which is the dwelling house of God. And that's also from The Way of the Saints, pages 276, 277. If we review some of the precepts we've considered over the course of this book, the greatest sin is to be afraid. Judging or criticizing others is the thing that most retards our progress on the path. We must never offend or molest the heart of anyone. We realize that what Master Kripal called right understanding is implicit in all of them. That understanding consists precisely of this. We must recognize our own position and the position of others in the eyes of God. Every living thing is of infinite importance and loved by God, and God resides in every heart. It is extremely important to remember that He loves us. We must never forget it. In The Wheel of Life, Master defines sin as forgetting of origin. We forget that we came from God, and as a consequence, we do things that are called sins. It's also important to remember that the path is meant to be helpful to us. It's easy to begin to see the path as something that is demanded of us. What the Master requests is no doubt difficult from the standpoint of living an ordinary kind of life, but we have expressed a desire for something more. We have asked to discover what is really going on in the universe and to no longer be subject to the kinds of things we have felt stifling our spirit. So we should look for joy in living in His grace and in meditating. Sanchi has often said, those people will please the Master who meditate, not understanding it as a burden. If we are not enjoying our meditations, we are not meditating correctly. In the same way, if the path doesn't seem to be helping us, there is something radically wrong with the way we are relating to it. The path is supposed to help us by getting us out of the trap of the negative power. That's the core purpose for traveling it. Master Kripal said in his circular on humility, there is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone. We have something to learn from everyone. Just as Master asks teachers to open our children gently, as though they were flowers, with sympathy, not force, we too are being opened up gently so that we can do the will of the Father. When we recognize the intrinsic goodness and worth of each of us and know we have been created for a divine purpose, we will really be open to His will. We will surrender to it and be ecstatically happy. In a wonderful letter called The Cage of the Soul, Master Kripal wrote about the joy and bliss that wait for us when our soul escapes the negative trap. Man has got himself so enmeshed in mind and the outgoing faculties that his release from them can only be brought about by struggle and perseverance. His plight is, in a way, similar to that of a bird that's been kept in a cage for so many years. Even if you should open the door of the cage, the bird will be loath to fly out. Instead, it will fly from one side of the cage to the other, clinging with its talons to the wire mesh. But it does not wish to be free and fly out of the open door of the cage. Similarly, the soul has become so attached to the body and the outgoing faculties that it clings to the outside things and does not wish to let go of them. It does not wish to fly through the door that has been opened by the Master at the time of holy initiation, at the threshold of which the radiant form of the Master is patiently waiting to receive the child disciple. True discipleship does not start until one has risen above body consciousness. It is from this point that the disciple will feel not only comfort, but will begin to experience the joy and bliss that awaits him in the beyond. He will have as his companion the charming, radiant form of the Master, who is ever at hand to impart the guidance that is necessary in order to avoid the pitfalls on the way. Until this point is reached, the disciple is, as it were, on probation, but such probation that cannot be severed. It is during this probationary period that the soul will feel some discomfort. It has become so besmeared with the dirt of the senses that it has lost its original purity of heart and is not fit to be raised up out of the prison house of the body. Even though the door has been opened, it is so attached to the things of the outside world that it does not wish to be free. It is only when the soul begins to regain its original purity of heart and mind that it can at last want to be free of the desires of the flesh and outward attachments. The loving master tries to avoid all possible discomfort to the child disciple by explaining what are the vices to be avoided and the virtues to be developed in order to regain this purity. In other words, we can understand the commandments as preventive medicine. Just as doctors prescribe an aspirin a day to prevent recurrence of a stroke, the masters give us directions to prevent our having pain. On the surface level, that is the purpose of the commandments Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount. But at a deeper level, he foresaw the need to create a different worldview from which following his instructions would be natural and easy, and because of which his followers would want to do as he asked. If, for example, we know that committing adultery will cause karmic complications and damage two lives, or perhaps many more, we probably won't do it. But as long as the desire to commit adultery is there, so long as we see other people as sex objects rather than brothers or sisters in God, the danger is always present. One obviously leads to the other, so there are two levels of commandments. They are both important, but if the instruction at the deeper level is kept, the surface command will not even be needed. And the Master's letter continues, unfortunately, more often than not, the words of the Master do not sink in, and little or no action is taken by the disciple to amend his ways. Therefore, the Master power must take firmer measures to bring home to the disciple the importance of the truths that have been explained in words. Hence the discomfort that is sometimes felt by the dear ones in their day-to-day living. If implicit obedience would be given to the commandments of the Master, all difficulties and discomforts would vanish. If the child gets itself so dirty that the only way the mother can wash it clean is by using a scrubbing brush, can it be said that the child will feel comfortable during the scrubbing process? It will only feel comfortable after the scrubbing has ceased and it is shining clear and pure. Help and protection is always extended by the Master to his followers. He looks after their comforts in every way, both outer and inner. Even the effects of the reactions of the past, from the gallows to an ordinary pinprick, so much concession is given. As the mother sacrifices everything for the sake of the child, even so does the Master sacrifice everything for the sake of his children. The follower, in fact, does not dream of what the Master does for him. He fills his followers with his own thought, with his own life impulse. When we remember him, he remembers us with all his heart and soul. He is not the body. He is the Word personified, the Word made flesh. To get the full benefit of the Master power, the disciple must develop receptivity. It is impossible to develop receptivity until implicit obedience is given to the commandments of the Master. When you pay heed to the Master's commandments, then that is a sign that you are growing in love for him. And the more you grow in love for him, the more receptivity you will develop. When you begin to develop this receptivity, all discomfort will vanish, and you will truly begin to tread the path in the firm assurance that you are on the right way, together with the loving companionship of one who will demonstrate more and more his greatness and his power on each step of the way, until you find that it is the very God himself who is your guide and mentor, who will never leave you until he has safely escorted you back to the true home of the Father. While on the way, one of the main functions of the Master is to wind up the back karmas of the disciple. It is through conscious contact with the sound current only that the karmas of back lives can be burnt away. This process is started at the time of holy initiation, at which time the disciple is given a contact with the light and sound principle, or God into expression power. To avoid opening a new account of bad deeds, the disciple is enjoined to lead a clean life and weed out all imperfections in him by self-introspection from day to day. This is the sublime principle behind keeping the diary, which the disciple is asked to maintain in order to become aware of the shortcomings which stand in his way to God. Ego is the self-assertive principle in man that makes him feel that I do this or I do that. When one rises above body consciousness and knows himself and becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, he sees that he is not the doer, but is a mere puppet in the hands of God. He will cease to be responsible for his actions and will become Jivan Mukta, or a free soul. The ego in man is part of the grand delusion that he is laboring under. It will cease to act or will be nullified only when a great degree of purity has been attained by the disciple, in which all of his actions will reflect the Master in him. Like Christ, he will proclaim, I and my Father are one. And that is reprinted from Satsang Desh, September 1970, pages 24 and 25. That is what the Masters are leading us to. The purpose of all these commandments, suggestions, is to open up that essence of God which is already within each of us. Just as we are all one in our essence, we are also all one in the way we imperfectly reflect the love of God, caught as we are in the trap of the negative power. The escape to freedom lies in living with each other with right understanding and loving humility according to the will of our Father. In so doing, we are building our house on rock, and the winds of time can never make us fall.
ਅਗਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਥੋੜ੍ਹਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਅੰਦਰ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਈਏ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਾਮਨਾ ਹੁਣ ਜਿਸਮ ਤਪਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ ਕਿ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਪਾਗਲ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਕਰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਕਾਮ ਦਾ ਵੇਗ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਫਿਰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਇਹ ਤਪਦਾ ਹਿਰਦਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਕਾਮ ਤਪਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਸ਼ੀਤਲਤਾ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਕਾਮ ਬਾਹਰ ਨਿਕਲ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਇਹਦੇ ਥਾਂ ਸੀਲ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
Now, if we obey the instructions of the masters, and obeying the instructions of the master, if we go in our within, even a little bit, then also this heart, which is now burning with the fire of lust, you know that how those who are having the problems with the lust, how their bodies is burning, how they are having heat in their heart and how they are feeling at unrest. So he says that when we go in our within by obeying the instructions of the master, even a little bit, then also we can get rid of this lust. And instead of lust comes the continence.
Avasile che mamane chai gai tapane kaam dukh dai phere krodh lobh pipaage ahankar moh sab tyaage.
Hun aap kehnde hai ਕਿ ਕਾਮ ਦੀ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਸੀਲ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਦੀ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਖਿਮਾ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਲੋਭ ਦੀ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਸੰਤੋਖ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਮੋਹ ਦੀ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਵਿਵੇਕ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਹੰਕਾਰ ਦੀ ਜਗ੍ਹਾ ਦੀਨਤਾ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ. ਕਿਆ ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਵਿਰੁੱਧ ਸ਼ਕਤੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਨੈਗੇਟਿਵ ਪਾਵਰਾਂ ਹੈ, ਅਕਾਲ ਸ਼ਕਤੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਨਿਕਲ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਦਿਆਲ ਸ਼ਕਤੀਆਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪੈਦਾ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ.
Now he says that in the place of lust comes the continence, in the place of anger comes forgiveness, in the place of attachment comes the power or the knowledge of discriminating things, and in the place of egoism comes humility, and in the place of greed comes contentment. Means all the negative powers go from our within, and instead of them all the positive powers take their residence in our within.
Kabir sahib kehnde hai pancho ladke maar ke rahe ram lo laaye, kya eh ladkiyan di shakal de andar thode andar hai eh ਨਿਕਲ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਇੱਕ ਇੱਕ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸ ਕੇ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ. ਕਾਮ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਅੱਜ ਮੈਂ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਅੱਜ ਮੈਂ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਸਾਰੇ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸ ਕੇ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਣਗੇ, ਔਰ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਜਿਸਮ ਹੈ, ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਆਬਾਦ ਹੋ ਜਾਏਗਾ. ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਰ ਇਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਚਿਰ ਇਹ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਨੂੰ ਆਬਾਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੋਣ ਦਿੰਦੇ. ਇਹਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸੁੱਖ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੋਣ ਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਸਵਾਲ ਹੀ ਪੈਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ.
ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਰਿਮੇਨ ਇਨ ਟਿਊਨ ਵਿਦ ਗੋਡ after killing all these five sons. He says that all these negative powers are like the five sons, and when you kill them, when you get rid of them, one by one they all go. And before going they say that I am going, the lust will say that he is going, the anger will say that he is going, and one by one when we remove all these things, after that the real happiness, the real contentment come in our within. Because as long as they are living in our body, as long as they are living in this city of the body, there is no question of progressing, there is no question of the progress of this city, of this body. And when they go away from our within, then we start progressing, because there is complete peace in our within.
Tulsi sahib kehnde hai, kaam, krodh, lo, moh, hankar di, jab lag kat mein khaan, kya pandit kya murkha, donne ek saman.
Tulsi sahib says that as long as the mind of lust, anger, greed, attachment and egoism is in your within, then it doesn't make any difference whether you are learned or foolish. Both the learned and the foolish, both the learned and the illiterate are the same.
Tulsi sahib ta itho tak kehnde hai, sat bachan adheenta par ter mat saman, tahi ko har na mile tulsi das jaman. Oh kehnde assi jamni bharde hai agar koi inna cheezan to bache aur phir parmatma na mile.
Tulsi sahib even says that I will pay him anything he wants, or I am responsible for him if he doesn't get God, even after having good thoughts, good words, and having humility, and having love for all. If one has all these things and abstain from all the negative things, and if he doesn't get God, I am responsible for him.
Phere krodha lobha pi paagi ahankare mohun sab tyaagi tune paanche shabd kat jaagi man hua sahaj bairagi.
Kya jad saade andar tun jaag pendi hai, ਮਨ ਸਾਡਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਸੁਭਾਵਕ ਹੀ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਵਿਰਾਗ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉਹ ਧੁਨ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਉੱਠਦੀ ਹੈ. ਪਬਰ ਗੁਫਾ ਦਸਵਾਂ ਦੁਆਰ ਸੁਣ ਔਰ ਤਿਰਕੁਟੀ ਸੰਸਦਲ ਕਮਲ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਦੀ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਸਭ ਦੇ ਇੱਥੇ ਮੱਥੇ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਧਨਕਾਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ, ਜਿੱਥੇ ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਕੌਮ ਦਾ ਸਵਾਲ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਮਜ਼ਹਬ ਦਾ ਸਵਾਲ ਹੈ. ਜਦ ਸਾਡੇ ਆਤਮਾ ਉਸ ਧੁੰਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੁੜ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਮਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸੁਭਾਵਿਕ ਹੀ ਵਿਰਾਗ ਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ.
Now he says that when the sound current gets awakened in our within, or in other words, when the sound current gets manifested in our within, then it is natural that in our mind comes the love, because sound current is coming from Sachkhand, and after coming through Bhavar Gupa, Dasmadwar and Trikuti, it is sounding in the center of our forehead, and when that sound current gets manifested in our within, when we become connected with that sound current, then it is natural to have love in our mind.
Tune paanche shabd kaate jaagi man hua sahaj bairagi guru kripa suraj gaana guru kripa
ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਧੁੰਨ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੁੜ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਉਦੋਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਾਤਰ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ. ਗੁਰੂ ਤਾਂ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਨਹੀਂ ਰਹੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਗੇ. ਔਰ ਫਿਰ ਕੀ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਹ ਤ੍ਰਿਕੁਟੀ ਦਾ ਸੂਰਜ ਉੱਗ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ. ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਆਹ ਦੇਸ਼ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਅੱਜ ਬੜਾ ਚੰਗਾ ਸਮਝਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਇਹ ਬੇਗਾਨਾ ਦਿਸਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇਹਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਕ ਜੌਂਤੇ ਖਰੀਦਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਤਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਗੇ.
When we get connected with the sound current, then we become receptive of Master's grace. Now also Master is showering his grace on us, but because we have not become receptive to his grace, that is why we are not understanding it, we are not feeling it. So after that, the sun of Trikuti rises in our within, and then the world in which we are living now, to whom we are giving so much importance, this world feels like the world of somebody else, and then we are not ready to buy this world even at the cost of any useless thing.
Guru kirpa sure yogana ab hua jagat vigana kat baithi tari
ਜਦ ਉਹ ਅੰਦਰਲਾ ਸੂਰਜ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉੱਗ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ, ਫਿਰ ਕੀ ਹੈ, ਸਾਡੀ ਤਾੜੀ ਸਮਾਧੀ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ. ਜੋ ਵੀ ਬਾਹਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਕਰਮ ਕਾਂਡ ਕਰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਉਹ ਬਿਲਕੁਲ ਹੀ ਛੁੱਟ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਕੋਈ ਕਹੇ ਕਿ ਤੂੰ ਹੁਣ ਕਿਉਂ ਨਹੀਂ ਉਹ ਕਰਮ ਕਾਂਡ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਫੋਕੇ ਲੱਗਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਛਿਲਕੇ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਲੱਗਦੇ ਹੈ. ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਜਦੋਂ ਲੜਕੀ ਨਿਆਣੀ ਹੈ, ਬੱਚੇ ਨਿਆਣੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਗੁੱਡੀਆਂ ਪਟੋਲਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਖੇਡਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜਦ ਸ਼ਾਦੀ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਪਤੀ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਦਿਲ ਲੱਗ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕੌਣ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਗੁੱਡੀਆਂ ਪਟੋਲਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਂਭ ਕੇ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ.
When with the grace of the master the inner sun rises in our within, after that we get the position of samadhi, we remain in the samadhi, and after that all the rites and rituals and the things which we were doing before, we stop doing that because we don't find any interest in, we don't have any interest in that, and we don't get anything from that. And after that, if anyone asks such a person that why is he not doing those rites and rituals and the things which he was doing before, he would say that he doesn't find any pleasure in that because he is getting the inner bliss. It is exactly like the children play with the toys and the things as long as they are children and until they get married. When the girl gets married to the husband, after that she finds the pleasure in the feet of the husband, with the husband, and then she doesn't care about the toys and things. In the same way, when we get the inner intoxication as bliss and bliss, then we don't find any interest, we don't like to do the outer rites and rituals.
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਪੋਜੀਸ਼ਨ ਦਾ ਜਾਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਦਾ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ. ਉੱਥੇ ਆਤਮਾ ਜਦ ਉਹ ਅਦਭੁਤ ਸੁੱਖ ਵੇਖਦੀ ਹੈ, ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਉਦੋਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਯਾਦ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਓਹੋ ਨਾ ਇਹਨੇ ਕੋਈ ਮੈਥੋਂ ਫੀਸ ਲਈ, ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਮੈਥੋਂ ਛਡਾਈ, ਕਿੰਨੀ ਮੇਰੇ ਤੇ ਦਇਆ ਕੀਤੀ, ਮਿਹਰ ਕੀਤੀ, ਕੀ ਮੈਂ ਇਹ ਸੁੱਖ ਕਦੇ ਪਾ ਸਕਦੀ ਸੀ.
We know about the position of the master or the grace of the master only when we go in our within. When we go in our within and we see the wonderful glory of the master, then we remember the praise of the master and then we say that this was only because of the grace of the master that I am getting all this wonderful happiness and the wonderful things. And I cannot sing the glory of the master because without him I would have not been able to come up to this point and would have not been able to receive anything.
Guru adbhut sukh dekhe laya ke amema jai nangaya jag jive bhagi sari nar de
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਜੀਵ ਅਭਾਗੇ ਕਿਹਦੇ ਭਾਗ ਲਿਆਉਣ. ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦਾ ਜਾਮਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਇਹ ਸਿਰਫ ਮੌਕਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਮਿਲਾਪ ਕਰਨ ਦਾ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਹੋਰ ਤਾਂ ਕੀ ਸਵਾਰਨਾ ਸੀ, ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਦੇਹ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਬਰਬਾਦ ਕਰਕੇ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ.
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਹੂਜ਼ ਗੁੱਡ ਫੋਰਚੂਨ ਦਿਸ ਅਨਫੋਰਚੂਨੇਟ ਸੋਲਸ ਕੈਨ ਬ੍ਰਿੰਗ. Because God gave us this precious human body to do His devotion, to improve our life and to get liberated. But instead of improving our life and instead of doing anything, we even misused and wasted our human body. So whose good fortune or good fate can this unfortunate soul bring?
ਹੁਣ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਆਪਣੇ ਤੇ ਦਇਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਉਸ ਤੇ ਦੂਸਰਾ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਇਆ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ?
The one who doesn't have pity or the one who doesn't have mercy on his own self, how can the other people have mercy on him?
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਆਪਣੇ ਜੀਵ ਕੀ ਦਇਆ ਪਾਲੋ, 84 ਕਾ ਫੇਰ ਬਚਾ ਲੋ.
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਹੈਵ ਸਮ ਮਰਸੀ ਔਨ ਯੋਰ ਸੋਲ ਐਂਡ ਇਨ ਦੈਟ ਵੇ ਸੇਵ ਦ ਸਾਈਕਲ ਆਫ 84.
ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰਨਾ, ਅਸੀਂ ਕੋਈ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੇ ਜੁੰਮੇ ਆਸਾਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਨਾ, ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਨੂੰ ਸੁਧਾਰਨਾ, ਕੋਈ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੇ ਜੁੰਮੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਸਾਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ, ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਉੱਤੇ ਦਇਆ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ.
ਡੂਇੰਗ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਮੀਨ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਹੈਵਿੰਗ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਫੇਵਰ ਟੂ ਐਨੀਵਨ. ਇੰਪਰੂਵਿੰਗ ਅਵਰ ਲਾਈਫ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਮੀਨ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਫੇਵਰ ਟੂ ਐਨੀਵਨ. It is like we are having mercy on our own soul.
Jag jive bhagin sare nar dehi yo hi hare kyon gur se preet na karte kyon jam ke
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਨਾ ਕੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਹੈ, ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਆ ਕੇ ਸਮਾਜ ਨਹੀਂ ਛਡਾਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ, ਪੁੱਤਰ ਧੀਆਂ ਨਹੀਂ ਛਡਾਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ, ਉਹ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਸਾਥੋਂ ਦੁਨੀਆਦਾਰੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਛਡਾਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ, ਬਲਕਿ ਇਹ ਹੀ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਕਿ ਤੜਕੇ ਉੱਠੇ, 2 ਘੰਟੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਾਓ ਔਰ ਮਾਲਕ ਦੇ ਦਰਬਾਰ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਓ. ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਕੀ ਇਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਔਖਾਈ ਹੈ, ਅਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਪ੍ਰੀਤ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਗੇ, ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਜਮਾਂ ਦੇ ਕੰਕਰ ਕਿਆ ਜਮਾਂ ਦੇ ਗੁਲਾਮ ਬਣ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਬਣੇ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੈ.
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਇਜ਼ ਡਿਫੀਕਲਟ ਇਨ ਲਵਿੰਗ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵੈਨ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਮੇਕ ਯੂ ਲੀਵ ਯੋਰ ਵਰਲਡਲੀ ਥਿੰਗਸ, ਵੈਨ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਮੇਕ ਯੂ ਲੀਵ ਯੋਰ ਰਿਲੀਜਨ, ਵੈਨ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਮੇਕ ਯੂ ਲੀਵ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਇਨਵੋਲਵ, ਦੇ ਜਸਟ ਟੈਲ ਯੂ ਦੈਟ ਰਿਮੇਨ ਵੇਅਰ ਐਵਰ ਯੂ ਆਰ, ਬਟ ਜਸਟ ਗੈਟ ਅਪ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਰਨਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਟ ਫਾਰ 2 hours ਐਂਡ ਇਨ ਦੈਟ ਵੇ ਗੋ ਬੈਕ ਟੂ ਗੋਡ. ਬਟ ਬਿਕੋਜ ਵੀ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਲਵ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਵੀ ਫਾਈਂਡ ਇਟ ਡਿਫੀਕਲਟ, ਐਂਡ ਬਿਕੋਜ ਵੀ ਡੋਂਟ ਲਵ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, that is why we have become slave of the angels of the death of the negative power, and that is why when our death comes we get bothered by them.
Tapate hirade tare ake. After coming he cooled the heated hearts by showering the rain of Naam. The true Satguru has come to remove the pain of the suffering ones. The place where beloved Kripal resides is blooming. Time after time he planted the plants of Naam and gave the water of Satsang. Hail, hail, beloved Kripal. He attached the dear ones to his feet. Showing the path of 5 Shabads, he united them in him. removing the differences of duality, he taught only one shabda. Beloved Kripal is present everywhere, absorbed in the eyes. The beautiful one who is present in all is obtained by the rare ones. He taught one shabad after making us forget all the knowledge of the world. Thus Ajay makes this prayer. Listen, O beloved Kripal, we have fallen at your door. Save our honor, O giver, filling the jholi of Naam. He taught to fill the jholis of Naam. After coming, he cooled the heated hearts by showering the rain of Naam. The true Satguru has come to remove the pain of the suffering ones. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 41.
Tapade hirde tare ake namadami varasagya tare danivarana dukhiya vale sacha sataguru agya tapade hirde tare ake namadami varasagya darda nivarana dukhiya vale sacha sataguru agya jisatate kirpala piyara ote bhagabahara same same sirlai bhute haja khidiyan gulzara jisata te kirpala piyara ote bhagabahara same same sirlai bhute Aja Kiriyan Gulazara Namade Bhute Lae Usane Satasanga Pani Pagia Dharada Nivarana Dukhiya Vale Sacha Sataguru Agia Tapade hirde tare ake namadami varasagya darda nivarana dukhiya vale sacha sataguru agya dhana dhana kirpala piyara apani charani laliya pancha shabada darasata dasake apane vicha melaliya dana dana kirpala piyara apani charani laliya Pancha Shabada Darasata Dasake Apane Vicha Milalia Dweda Veda Da Bheda Mitatke Iko Shabada Sikagia Dareda Nivarana Dukhiya Vale Sacha Sataguru Agya Tapade Hirde Tare Ake Namadami Varasagya Darda Nivarana Dukhiya Vale Sacha Sataguru Agya harta te kirpal piara ankiya vicha samaya he gata gata devicha vasada sona virale nehi paya he harta te kirpal piara Ankiya vicha samaya he gata gata devicha vasada sona virale nehi paya he duniya de sabeda elama chudake iko shabeda sikagiya Dare dani varana dukia vale sacha sate guru agia tape de hire de tare ake namadami varasagia Dare dani varana dukia vale Sacha sata guru agya Dasa ajayaba arja karda Sunakirpala piyareya Tare tere te dhate ake Rakila jadatariya Dasa ajayaba arja karda sunakirpala piyareya Dare tere te dhate ake rakila jadatariya Namadana di jholi bharake Joli bharana sikagiya Daridani bharana dukiya vale Sacha sata guru agiya Tapade hirade tare ake Namadami varasagiya Dare dani varana dukia vale sacha sata guru agya.
The true Satguru has come to remove the pain of the suffering ones. After coming, he cooled the heated hearts by showering the rain of Nam. May God bless us all.